Joining us in conversation to fill us in on the legal implications that independent power producers would need to be mindful of when establishing their private power generation is the director in the corporate and commercial practice, also the head of projects and infrastructure sector at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Andrew van Niekerk. Mr. van Niekerk, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Anita, for having me. It's a pleasure to join you.
In light of last week's midterm budget policy statement, the finance minister touched on the need for private power generation to alleviate the risk of power cuts where municipalities buy and sell power from IPPs. Andrew, what needs to change in order for private power to provide economic growth and also to subsidize our electricity generation?
It's quite a nuanced set of parameters that one needs to kind of traverse to answer the question lucidly. From a regulatory perspective, obviously there's been a significant stride forward in terms of the exemptions that are permitted or dispense with the need to get a generation license if you're a sub 100 megawatt capacity generation facility. So that's obviously a significant seismic change in the local landscape, and it's led to a lot of activity in the marketplace, as well as a lot of interest from IPPs looking to sell energy to private sector off-takers. So in the context of the comment made by the minister that, you know, how to alleviate Eskom's burden to sell energy in the local marketplace relying on municipalities, I think the difficulty comes in with labeling this as an IPP municipality kind of solution, because the municipalities would nevertheless have a significant regulatory hurdles to overcome to solicit bids on an IPP basis, as well as then bankability considerations that would need to be satisfied from a lender perspective, where most municipalities are viewed to be in financial difficulty. And obviously, if you're looking at a municipality as an anchor off-taker to support somebody as an IPP to come in and finance and develop and operate and maintain an independent power producer plant, which is obviously prohibitively expensive, it becomes quite challenging to get the financing in place when you're looking at the municipality's credit standing and balance sheet. So those are the, you know, difficulties that one would need to take into consideration. It's far less problematic to get financing and you know, to get the regulatory approval in place if one was going to sell energy to a private sector off-taker that had the relevant credit standing and sufficient balance sheet to underpin the debt and equity that would be required to finance these transactions. And then you know, kind of part and parcel of all of this is the good stability. You know, if one's going to ask an independent power producer to finance a power solution, whether it's going to be to supply energy to a municipality and or its customers or customers of Eskom, thereby alleviating, you know, the burden that Eskom has to generate and sell energy to its own, you know, clients, although that might be viewed as poaching a client, it's actually kind of lessening the burden that it has presently and the constraint that it has. But that only works really if you can evacuate the energy to, you know, whoever is going to be the offtaker. So those are the difficulties we face presently. There's still some regulatory hurdles to jump over, specifically if one's going to try and sell energy to your municipality or to a municipality's end customers, thereby being a reseller of energy and offering a service to the municipality. From an anchor off-taker perspective, it's hard to you know, find municipal or municipalities that are actually viewed as credit worthy to underpin these types of projects. Quite often the case is that the grid stability in these municipal areas are poor. and therefore then one cannot necessarily evacuate the energy to the municipality and get paid. Or, you know, the end user, ultimately, if that might be a private sector party. So some investment needs to be made in relation to the grid infrastructure to make sure that at the end of the day, when one generates the energy, one can actually evacuate it, you know, to the off-taker and tell it. Failing which, obviously, somebody's got to, you know, be left holding the pad. And obviously, if you ask the municipality to be left holding the tab, if there's good constraints, then obviously you need to have a solvent municipality with sufficient credit standing to underpin the debt and equity. And if you're asking the IPP to take that risk, you're kind of precluding foreign investment because people aren't willing to take what they would term then country risk. In terms of the good stability, so those are some of the hurdles, and these are, you know, kind of hurdles that we grapple with on a daily basis. At this point in time, it's not very often that we see people looking to sell energy to municipalities. We do quite frequently see and are instructed on these types of projects where the off-taker ultimately is going to be potentially some big mining house or some big industry house that has significant credit standing and a balance sheet that's sufficient to really backstop the termination payments that might arise if there's a buyer default.
Andrew van Niekerk is directing the corporate and commercial practice, also the head of the projects and infrastructure sector at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. So quite a few challenges, and not, as you point out, Andrew, cut and dry. And I mean, if one looks at the recent released Auditor General report in terms of the financial state of our municipalities, as you point out, it makes for it a quite a big change, but possibly investment may be one way forward. In terms of the independent power producers, is there a registration process as well once they've been successful in the number of the bid windows?
Yeah, so, you know, what has changed is there is a registration requirement with NERSA if you're going to finance and develop a facility sub 100 megawatts. But that is no longer, you know, there's no longer a need to obtain a generation license. So it's a lesser burden, and certainly as I said previously, it's a significant stride forward. But there is a lack of clarity in terms of process, because this is all very fresh, you know, off the press, right? So it's not like we have a precedent in terms of what the process is in terms of the registration process. You know, us will have to go through that learning process and understand what the registration process, application process is that NERSA is going to adhere to. So there's a level of uncertainty, but that's because we still need to cut our teeth on this. It certainly is a lesser burden from a regulatory perspective than it was in the past. You know, anything above 1 megawatt required you to get a generation license from NERSA, and those weren't handed out. It was quite a process, and you weren't necessarily assured of getting a generation license. At least that has now been, you know, alleviated as a burden for IPP. And so it's like to say, you know, critically, that the process is not sufficient. It's just it's still a bit uncertain. It's not been tried and tested, and NERSA hasn't yet published what the actual application process is for registration rather than an application for a generation license.
Do these changes need to be reflected in any way in the IRP at all, Andrew?
No, they don't. But we do need to get a guideline from NERSA, and I think, you know, that will evolve over a period of time in terms of what the process is to follow. And they'll probably publish that on their website. I think it'd be a matter as simple as that, and then following the process. But no, it's not an RFP matter. It's more a kind of internal procurement process matter or internal registration, you know, process matter that we clarity and guidance on.
Okay. You mentioned guidance from NERSA. What role does the Minerals and Resources Department play in this as well?
Very little.
Okay.
NERSA is really the authority in terms of getting approval for generation license or registration of an IPP. The DMRE has got very little to say. I mean, obviously, the minister has indicated that we should, as far as we can, have an enabling environment for these types of projects. But really, it comes down to, obviously, there are government directives under the IRP, and obviously, there are procurement programs such as REAP and the Risk Mitigation Independent Power Producer Program, which is largely DMRE driven. But in terms of these types of private sector PPP projects and enabling us to proceed, given that it's been legislated now that we can do these, if say 100 megawatts without generation license, and that's a huge regulatory burden that's been removed. It's just now a matter of NERSA, and through the process of these IPPs coming online, which they will, for everybody to figure out what the process is.
Are there exemptions then, I would presume, that then are granted in favor of projects below 100 megawatts?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so recently there were changes to the Electricity Regulation Act, and the exemptions in Schedule 2 created an enabling framework where IPPs that we're going to basically design and finance and operate facilities under 100 megawatts would be able to do so without having to get a generation license. They'd obviously have to go through the relevant approval processes for environmental approvals and so on and so forth, and to the extent that they're in selling energy to what would otherwise be municipal clients, that there's still going to be some kind of hurdles to overcome from a municipality's system acts perspective in terms of the procurement process that they need to follow to enable that. But at the end of the day, if one's talking about specifically an IPP who is connected to some distribution network that's operated by Eskom and selling ultimately power to a private sector off-taker, and the facility is sub 100 megawatts, then it's a far easier process now to get to a point of financial close and commercial operation and selling energy lawfully to those private sector off-takers. So there's been significant changes for the good. There's still we've got a bit of work to do and a bit of guidance to be given in terms of how to register those particular types of projects, and obviously to cater for those through amendments to the relevant bulk power supply agreements that those off-takers might have with Eskom to cater for a reconciliation of the tariff that the IPP sells energy to the customer, but it's still selling really through the grid that's being operated by Eskom. And so there's quite a few steps in the process to facilitate these types of projects, but they're underway. There's quite a bit of movement. There's a number of private sector IPPs that are out for RFP, and some that are advanced to the point where we were talking to banks and we were responding to request proposals from off-takers who want the energy in the private sector space. So huge amount of traction, but we've still got some way to go before everybody's very clear and certain about the process.
Lastly, you mentioned the financial challenge that many municipalities are facing, but just generally speaking, what are the other implications when it comes to municipalities when looking to buy and sell power from IPPs?
I suppose one of the key challenges is that regardless of whether an extended direct recirculation network is used or not, if you're going to supply energy to an end user or a municipal off-taker, where the municipality is the distributor, then you're going to have to comply with the Municipal Systems Act. And that would, by necessity mean that you have to go through an RFP process, or the municipality would have to go through an RFP process to permit them to actually enter into that type of arrangement. So at the end of the day, there's still huge regulatory hurdles from the municipal perspective to enable these types of projects to go ahead.
Andrew van Niekerk, Director in the Corporate and Commercial Practice, also the Head of Projects and Infrastructure Sector at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your insights on this, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Take care.